and welcome to My Xbox and Me, episode 453. I am one of your hosts, MC Fixer, alongside the one and only Mr. Two Fresh Crash. Crash, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing good.
Good to hear from you, Crash. I'm glad you're doing well this week. And of course, the one and only Mr. Eastbourne, how are you? Wrong podcast.
No,
we'll talk about that later. Wrong podcast.
I'm good, man.
If you didn't know, this is My Xbox and Me, our weekly Xbox podcast, right here on youtube.com/myxboxandme and all podcast services. If you want to support the show financially, we would implore you to do so. We've been doing this for 453 weeks. I think it's about time you give back to us a little bit. Yeah, I don't know how long. I really wish I knew when you came on the podcast, Crash. Like, what number?
Yeah.
It's lower than you think.
I got no clue.
It's a long time now. And then the same for you, Deespawn. Do you remember what episode you came on?
Yeah.
I need somebody. I know, you know, we're asking a lot, and I know you was making a joke before we was recording. We were talking to the Patreon supporters, right? About, like, they should know everything. I would love for someone to go through and work out how many episodes Kevin did, how many episodes Ross did, how many episodes Amy did, how many episodes when did Crash come on? That's what I want to know. Did Crash come on? When did Matt come on? And when did Despawn come on? That's what I want to know. I've been there since the start, unfortunately. But you can find us on all podcast services. Make sure you go drop us a follow, a like, a subscribe over on YouTube, and you can catch us 3 times a week. We actually did, we all went live this week, right? Last week, we all went live. Yep. We did all go live. Over on Twitch. So go drop us a follow over on Twitch as well. twitch.tv/myxboxandme. Big shout out to our Patreon producer, the one and only Mr. Erengard, keeping the lights on and keeping this show on the road. Don't forget, this Saturday, 12 p.m. GMT starting. It will end at 12 a.m. GMT. Mm-hmm. That's how that works. That's how time works. We will be doing our 12-hour live stream in aid of trying to raise funds for like an editor and a bunch of other cool projects that we have in the works. So what we're going to be doing is sort of, it's not a subathon. It's not like a timer where things are going to go up, but every new Patreon supporter that we get, we're going to do a forfeit for that. And you'll see, there's a whole thing going to be happening. You'll be able to watch us live over on YouTube, and you'll be able to watch us live over on Twitch. We'll be reading both chats, so go and check us out. If you're watching, hearing this on Friday, remember, Saturday, 12 p.m. GMT. Crash, what time is that in your time?
7 a.m. EST. It'll be 4 a.m.
That's a start. Okay, yeah. But there's 12 hours. There's a lot of time there. All right.
Good. Maybe someone wants to wake up early.
Don't scare the Americans. They'll be scared.
My bad.
Topic of the show this week, boys. It's a piece of news that literally just dropped before we went live. WB sees its future strategy to involve more live service games, mobile games, and free-to-play games. And the quote we have here is, rather than just launching one-and-done console games, how do we develop a game, for example, a Hogwarts Legacy or Harry Potter, that is a live service where people can live and work and build and play in that world in an ongoing basis, said WB Games CEO JP Peretti. I hope I said that correctly. Peretti. All right, we'll go with that. We're starting off spicy this week, guys. No, not just me. I guess this is kind of heartbreaking. I think I'm heartbroken by our industry at this moment in time, where there's lots of conversations being had across the board, of people. You know, we've heard Phil Spencer come out and say it about how the industry's changing. We're seeing PlayStation adapt to how they're doing things. And then you're seeing WB, which I think we can all agree is one of the best single player studios that we've had in the last 15 years. I think they've got to be up there for the Batman series. Don't let recency bias destroy you from Suicide Squad.
Yeah. My question would be, outside of the Batman series, how many big single player series have they had?
That doesn't matter though, because at the end of the day, it's the I think they're one of the best single player. If I think of a single player story driven game, I think of Rocksteady.
Sure,
but yes, when you say their best, I think one of the best.
Wouldn't you like? Okay, but even with one of the best, why don't you look at their whole catalog instead of like cherry picking the good ones?
No, I'm from a single player's perspective. I look at them. I'm like, I look at them in the same vein I look at Naughty Dog, in the same vein I look at Sony Santa Monica, in the same way I look at the correlation, not single player technically, but you know what I mean by that, in terms of like a big story driven action set piece type game. I'd put Rocksteady up there with all of those studios.
Oh, 100%. But WB Games is more than just Rocksteady, no?
Okay, I misspoke. I'm specifically speaking about Rocksteady. Okay.
That's fair.
I misspoke. I do apologize. Yeah. But yeah, I think just the state of our industry right now has me kind of worried. Obviously, this statement from WB Games, being that they are now transitioning to, you know, all of their titles becoming live service and, you know, ongoing games. And we've heard all this jargon before, to be honest with you. It's something that we've heard. But I think what breaks my heart the most is, take away the political side of Hogwarts Legacy. You look at, I know you guys didn't play it, but Matt will back me up, in terms of like, Hogwarts Legacy is a really, really good game. Yes, its main story wasn't that interesting to me, but what they built there in that world was fantastic. So there's a part of me that's excited in some ways by what they're saying, to not just be a negative Nancy, right? If you're going to tell me you can give me that type of world, but it is an MMO, or it is a, and when I mean MMO, I mean like a Destiny type MMO-ish type game. I know that's not technically an MMO, but that style of game, live service is what we call it nowadays, right? We don't really call that. That's not an MMO, but that's as close as what I'm talking about what I'm talking about right now, in terms of like dungeons and raids and, you know, building up a character and that living on for 5-10 years, whatever it may be, right? That to me is exciting, but that doesn't mean that I don't want the single player story Harry Potter Hogwarts Legacy game as well. And I guess the question I have for you guys is, have we hit this time or this space in our industry where companies are now looking at it as an either or? We can't do both. We can't build this ever-growing, everlasting spectacle of a game like a Destiny, let's say, and also build a single player story driven game as well. Like, are those two things so far from each other nowadays that studios have to specify what they want to do? Or, to be negative again, does it all just come down to money?
To answer the question in one word, yes, it does come down. Yes, is the answer. It comes down to money, but not in the way you think. It's not them chasing profits, although that is obviously their overarching goal, is to just get the most profits. But games are more expensive than ever to make, so they've got to be careful about which ones they decide to make. So it's a case of like, do we put however much money it is into a single player game that is going to sell for £70 or $70, and people will play it for 20 hours and then that's it, it's done, we don't get any more money from that? Or do we put that same amount of money into a live service game and hope it hits? Because if it hits and it hits well, that's going to be a recurring income for them. If it doesn't,
but then
they still have the single player aspect of the sales of it. So like, you again, I think like Suicide Squad may be not the best example, but say like the amount of people that maybe picked that up at full price, paid for it, played it, and decided, right, that's it, I'm done with it. They still got that sale.
Yeah.
But then there are people that would, if it hit, which unfortunately it didn't, but if it hit, there would then be people in there who are like, I love this universe, I love this world, I'm going to put all my money into the battle passes, whatever, the cosmetics, that's a recurring income for them. So the question is, I guess, to the companies is like, where's this less risk? Is there less risk in the single player, or is it less risk to make a live service game and hope it hits?
I think to Fix's point, Suicide Squad kind of tried to do both. It tried to give you that single player experience, but also do the co-op. It's the same thing with Avengers. When we talked about Avengers, the conversation was like, hey, if they just focused on the co-op, this game would have been cool. Or if they just gave us that single player experience. The single player experience, the campaign experience in Avengers was good. Mm-hmm. Especially if they had focused just on that and they scaled down those co-op elements, because that's where that single player that campaign might have felt a little bit clunky and weird in certain cases, where if it was just a honed down campaign, it would have felt better. There is that need for monetization, and especially with like, hey, this game's gonna last you 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. Is it a better sell for people, especially people who can't buy a lot of games? They're like, oh, I'll pick up that game, I'll have it for a couple of years. But then if you compare that, I think, to something like Assassin's Creed, you do come into a dilemma where you see Valhalla, that sells and people play that for 3 years, right? So do you do front-loaded content in a single-player game? Do you do these big, expansive games? I think there's a lot of different options. I think the cheaper option for a lot of developers is start off with a live service game. Don't create this big, big, massive project. You can add additional content over time, keep the game going, et cetera, et cetera. But that also does come with the risks as well.
There's a couple of things that you touched on there that I would love to dive into. I think the first one I want to touch on is WB are the perfect example of what they're speaking about, right? Which is, they launched last year the biggest single player game of the year that sold gangbuster numbers, being Hogwarts Legacy. I think the number we last saw was like 70 plus million, something silly like that, right? I can't remember the exact numbers, but yeah, it was crazy. The amount of revenue that game had generated was ridiculous. And then you've seen the lower than desirable expectations with sales with Suicide Squad, right? So it's a case of, they know what works here in terms of, they've launched a single player game that was very successful and a live service game that was, for a lack of a better term, but a failure. So do they not look at that and go, well, we just launched this, why don't we just do more of this? Oh, it seems like people like Harry Potter and like being a wizard. Why don't we double down on Hogwarts Legacy 2 or, you know, more Harry Potter focused, get like an actual Harry Potter game where you play as Harry Potter now? They've really got the crux of the hard part. Maybe I'm wrong, but the hard part must be done, right? That they have that world. That world doesn't, for Harry Potter, that world doesn't change dramatically. They have the castle, they have the, obviously it's going to be updated, there's going to be newer style of castle, there's going to be newer environments, there's going to be, but the models are there now, right? Like, that world doesn't change in terms of, the town is still where the town is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that changes over time and obviously becomes more modern compared to what Hogwarts Legacy is, but sure, maybe I'm wrong. And again, I don't make games. It's not, as like we all know, it's not copy pasta and here you go. I've got to imagine there's a lot of reused assets that can be made for a sequel and even beyond the sequel for that world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I think if you look at the Yakuza franchise, I think recently the lead developer for Yakuza was like, one of the benefits of our game that we do that a lot of other games don't do is we essentially like reuse a lot of our stuff. Like most of the Yakuza games take place in the same exact city and they just add onto it as opposed to creating brand new experiences. But that's also not a very common thing in games. So I could see like, hey, if we really want to sell a game, and games need to sell, especially when you're working with something like Harry Potter, you can't make a Harry Potter game and risk people being like, hey, that's a lot of reused stuff, I don't want to play that because I've already played that experience. And so there is that risk there.
With Harry Potter, I don't think there is, personally.
I was going to say, I think the argument there is that, like, yeah, the vocal minority are not going to have that much of it. We saw, again, talking about the controversy, we saw with the controversy with the original game, like, the vocal minority had no effect on that sales. No. To answer your earlier question, like, 24 million copies sold.
24 million, thank you. Mm-hmm. It must have been 70 billion in... No, it can't be billion. No, it can't be that crazy. No, not billion. I'm not erring that. I'm more thinking, I wonder what the revenue was. The other point I wanted to touch on, though, Gresh, was Crap, I had a thought and now I can't remember. What was it? It was, oh, Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah.
Is Assassin's Creed not Valhalla the perfect in, I could be wrong, and I'm sure, I wish I knew the answer to this question, but isn't that not the perfect way to launch a ever-growing single-player game in terms of, like, you launch a really big experience, and yes, it does have microtransactions inside of it in terms of cosmetics and things of that nature, and then if and when the game does well, you then launch an expansion on top of that. With Assassin's Creed, they have like the limited time missions that cycle through and things like that. Is that not, to me, that's where single player games should be going, where it's not a you're done once you've rolled credits and it's over. You're not done. If the game is built well enough, there's a reason to still be living in that world. And is that not where we should be going as an industry for single player experiences?
So I think my problem with that is you are very much like beholden to people's attention span. If you make a single player game that is, let's say, 20 hours experience to give it the big end of the number, but most of my life 5 to 10 hours, you said, let's say, give someone 10, 15 hours to play through a game. They play it, it's done. And then maybe 6 months down the line, you announce a DLC. There's like a big expansion, a big addition. Because they've not been playing that game for 6 months, there'll be a lot of people who's like, I had my time with it. I don't need the expansion. I'm good. So the diminishing returns on there. Whereas if you do that with a live service game, where they're still constantly in it week by week, you're more likely to get people to be like, okay, yeah, new expansion for this game I'm playing every week. It's an easier sell, I think, than trying to sell single player DLC on a regular basis. I'm sure there's numbers out there that will back that up as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I also would imagine not as much goes into the updates for weekly updates as opposed to like, hey, let's create DLC and expansions and stuff like that, which Valhalla does get. And you have to remember that Ubisoft, a lot of their development and a lot of stuff that they have going internally goes towards Assassin's Creed specifically. That's a lot of what the studio does, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with Warner Brothers, it would be a question of, do they want to pivot to like mainly supporting Harry Potter or some franchise like that? Or are they going to keep it sort of, we want to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and something's eventually going to stick, which it seems like is going to be their plan going forward.
I shouldn't say stupid, but it just seems very silly in terms of you have some of the biggest IPs in the world, right? Like, mm-hmm. Why have we not gotten outside of, and maybe this is because the devs don't want to do it anymore, but why have we not gotten another Batman game? Like, we know that they sell well, we know that they're enjoyable, we know they review well. Is it a case of Batman, the Arkham trilogy just doesn't generate enough revenue to warrant doing it anymore?
I think that was Rocksteady, like, finished the chapter for that game for themselves. Like, that was the end of it. Mm-hmm. I think if Origins did better with the, what team made it? Which Warner Brothers team?
Yeah, Montreal.
Montreal. Yeah, it was Montreal. I think it was Montreal.
I believe it was Montreal.
Whatever team, if that game did better, I think there was a possibility that we would have seen more Batman games coming from them. Mm. The same thing with like...
that game was the best. And I know people disagree. Not. Okay, cool. Let's not go with it's not the best, right? But that game was a good game.
It was good.
Sure. I think if that game launched today, the perception of that game would have been drastically different, but it launched in the middle of the trilogy.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. It launched after 2, before 3, and then if you go to either of those games, you have a better experience right at the start.
Yeah, it felt like a stopgap between... Because we knew at the time that Rocksteady were working on the third game, and it's just like, another studio's taking over for a bit, and okay...
It felt like, hey, we have McDonald's at home, right? That's what that game was for a lot of people, regardless of whether that game actually was that or not.
And it was just called Wendy's.
Yeah, Wendy's is better than McDonald's, so that's not...
I don't know, we don't have Wendy's here anymore. Point. Do we?
Yeah, we got Wendy's.
Do we? Okay,
So, do we know who made Batman Origins? I saw you typing away.
It was Montreal.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
We know things.
That's because it was the best game. That's why I know who made it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I guess there's a part of me, and I'm happy to hear what you guys think, but there's a part of me that's just very upset by this. Again, I love single player experiences. Mm-hmm. I love deep, meaningful storytelling, and I love great action games as well. And Warner Brothers have made some of the best of them, being Shadows of Mordor. I didn't really love the sequel, but Shadows of Mordor, great, fantastic game. Batman Arkham Trilogy, amazing. Origin, I think, is amazing. Others say was not so good, but I enjoyed it a lot. I've just finished, you know, playing their version of a live service game, and maybe they're going to learn a lot from this, and the next one they come out with is actually going to be good. But it doesn't. You can't blame me for being skeptical when WB come out with their next live service game and me go, I'm okay. And then look at their IPs. What IP really works with a free-to-play game? Because that was also something else that was mentioned. Like,
you can do Harry Potter.
Free-to-play?
You can do everything with Harry Potter. Yeah. You could do a Harry Potter free-to-play game.
You can do
a lower-budget game that doesn't have as many resources dumped into it, have it being a growing world where with microtransactions, whatever, you could buy different Hogwarts uniforms or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, you could do it. But I think for me, we'll see really with when Wonder Woman drops, how they treat Wonder Woman and the reception that gets. And then also, is this a case of, outside of like their marquee single player games, the Hogwarts, the DC single player games, whatever, is that like we're not focusing on single player stuff outside of that, and all our resources outside of those games are going to go into free to play games? Or is it like after whatever single player games we have lined up, we're going all into not free to play? I know I just said free to play, but these live service games, is that what our main focus will be? And we're going to stop doing single player games altogether? I think time will kind of tell with that. And I think the reception of Wonder Woman and what other single player games they currently have in production, how those are received will be really telling for this in the long run.
Yeah. I think for me, my big takeaway from this is it feels slightly short-sighted on behalf of Warner Brothers, because it is very much like every other like big publisher and whatever are trying to slowly pull away from live service games. Like, for example, the biggest company in video games at the moment, arguably outside Rockstar, would be PlayStation. And they're basically firing a bunch of people, scaling back their games, because they're kind of running back this whole idea that they're going to release 12 live service games, because they see that the market isn't there for it. And for Warner Brothers to turn around and be like, we're going to jump into that market full force.
In Warner Brothers' defense, they do have a lot of IPs that can carry the entry point of those sort of games.
Yeah.
And then also, if you're looking at Warner Brothers as a whole, when you say short-sighted, if you're looking at any aspect of Warner Brothers, be it the movies or whatever the case is, that generally is the consensus around Warner Brothers right now. So I don't think it's off par for what Warner Brothers is currently.
I think especially when you look at what Disney's doing, right? Like, and that's who you can... I know it's not fair to compare the two, especially... you know, but superhero wise is kind of where the comparison comes from. But
both in gaming as well.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, in gaming and from film. But yeah, it's just like in comparison, they're just not there. But yeah, I 100% agree with you, Kresh. It's much easier to get people into, again, I'll go back to the Harry Potter MMO. A PC only Harry Potter MMO game, free to play, sells. Do you know how much money? So I'll use Hayley, for instance, right? My fiance. Do you know how much money she's putting into that game? Like, ridiculous. I know for a fact she'd be one of those people that gets caught. Oh, I had to buy the owl. Oh, well, I had to buy this. Oh, I had to buy this new wand. Oh, I had to. And then how much she spent in that game? Oh, $200. She doesn't play games.
Yeah.
She doesn't play games like that. Like, and you know, like you can see that. And surely they're not silly, right? They've seen the success of Hogwarts Legacy and gone, okay, how can we make more money from that specifically?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their mind is probably like, hey, we've had Hogwarts Legacy. Now, how can we combine that with some other, I'm sure they've had somewhere like some sort of success with a free-to-play game, be it on mobile or something like that. How can we combine both these revenues to get a big chunk up front, but then also a big chunk over the course of 3-4 years out of this game as well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Well, guess we'll see what happens in the future when it comes to all things Warner Brothers. Let's jump into this week's dashboard, boys. First piece of news we got is Xbox Partner Preview event has been announced with 30, it's going to be about 30 minutes long, of third-party games coming to Xbox and PC. Today, Xbox were thrilled to announce, not today specifically, but the next Xbox Preview Partner event, this time featuring a mixture of new and upcoming games from publishers like Capcom, Nexon, EA, and others, with more than a dozen new trailers over the course of a 30-minute broadcast. Boys, exciting, I have to say. I'm quite excited for this. I don't think it will be... I don't think we're going to see, you know, the next Resident Evil game, for instance. But I do think this is a great step for Xbox. They did this last year, they're doing it again this year. To keep building those relationships, which with them being an ecosystem now, they need to have, right? There's nothing there's nothing more important now for Xbox than relationships. Yeah. More than anything else going forward, it is with the console space being where it's at, it comes down to now bolstering Game Pass, bolstering relationships, and making sure that every flagship title that comes out for the next 20 years is on their system. And I think that's what this sort of program is doing as well. It's a case of like, yeah, we'll spotlight whatever, what game, what? You want us to spotlight that? Yeah, no problem. We'll put the money behind that. No problem.
Yeah. We want us to do the marketing so that you then show your game on our platform? 100%.
Yeah.
We will happily pay for that. It makes sense. I'm quite excited about this. It looks like there's a couple of games that I'm very interested in seeing.
Such as?
So I'm going to probably butcher the name of it. Tales of K'Zara, Zao. So this is when we saw at the Game Awards with a really impassioned speech from the developer. Who I fell in love with instantly. Basically, very, very excited. Another very much like 2D side-scrolling platformer, very similar to Prince of Persia that we saw earlier this year.
Yeah.
So very excited for that. We had the new, I'm just looking through what we got listed. We had the new one from Capcom as well, which I was very unsure about when we first saw it.
Yeah.
I'm still unsure about that game. Yeah, I have no clue.
Do you know what it is, though? It's that weird thing with Capcom right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, right now, Capcom don't miss. So
that's it.
You see
that's
a game like this, and you're like, doesn't quite look like a me game.
Doesn't, be a miss.
Doesn't quite look like it's going to hit, but Capcom don't miss right now.
I mean,
so
they released Exo Primal.
For some people, they love that game.
True. Yeah.
They missed on that.
I enjoyed
one.
The 4 hours I played in it.
They missed on that one. That's because they did miss on that one. All right. Cheers, Chris.
It wasn't a drastic miss. No. It wasn't a drastic miss, you know.
It was a miss.
They hit it on the board, right? They were on the board. They got it somewhere, you know, bullseye.
Do you know what it is? No. They were aiming for a triple 20 and they accidentally hit the one. You know? They were aiming for the right spot. But sometimes it veers to the right a little. Sometimes that's why.
The vision was there, though.
Yeah, at least it stuck in the board.
Exactly. It was on the board. I'm excited, to be honest with you, what EA are going to show.
The Tales of K'Zara.
Tales of K'Zara is one of the originals.
I was hoping there might be
Dragon
more,
Age.
Though, from EA. I'm just, you know, I'm not...
I could see Dragon Age, because that's got to be getting shown at some point, right?
Yeah, you'd think so.
But that would be like an E3 showcase, right? It would be a get for Xbox to show it here, though.
Yeah.
Oh, it would 100% be a get, yeah.
It'd be huge. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But yeah, I'm excited to see what EA have got up their sleeve and what they're doing. We'll be talking about EA again in just a moment, unfortunately. But yeah, it's interesting. I'm looking forward to this. We'll be doing a live reaction here on youtube.com/myxboxandme and twitch.tv/myxboxandme. If you're watching this live, it is tomorrow. And if you're not, it is already been. And watch our VOD on the YouTube channel. Next up, Activision Studio Toys for Bob is going independent. They're going to be exploring future partnerships with Xbox. yeah, this is one that confuses the hell out of me. I have to be totally honest. I'll read the quote and then we'll give our input, shall we? Quote, with the same enthusiasm and passion, we believe that now is the time to take the studio and our future to the next level. The opportunity allows us to return to our roots, being a small, nimble studio, writes Chief Creative Officer Paul Dan and studio head Avery Lodato. Lodato? I believe I said that.
Lodato.
Right. Lodato, thank you. Quote, to make this news even more exciting, we're exploring a possible partnership between our new studio and Microsoft. And while we're in the early days of developing our next new game and ways away from making announcements, our team is excited to develop new stories, new characters, and new gameplay experiences. End quote. Crash.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
About what?
Didn't Xbox own this studio like a week ago?
Yeah. So I think this is very much a gaming space political move from Xbox of, hey, we treat our studios right. Toys for Bob wanted to leave. We're not going to hold them here. We're not going to force them to say our acquisitions aren't a bad thing. If developers want to go and do their own thing, we will happily let them. It's the same reason they've been accepting unions left and right as far as like Microsoft's concerned a lot of the times. I view this very much in the same light. I think it's great for Toys for Bob. I think for Xbox in general, this move probably kind of hurts. Because this was one of the studios, I think for a lot of people, they were excited for Xbox to have and like, hey, they don't have to work on Call of Duty, and they still don't have to work on Call of Duty, except they're not going to be a part of that Xbox portfolio going forward, right?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. This might have been the most exciting studio that I had big hopes for under Xbox. They filled a gap in Game Pass's portfolio from a first party front perfectly. You know, Xbox don't have a studio, and still don't now, have a studio that makes, and I quote, kids games. You know what I mean by that. Your Crash Bandicoots, your Spyros, your Skylanders, things like that. It would be typically called a kids game.
I'd argue that Double Fine could fit into that space. Psychonaut.
Double Fine haven't done it on a AAA experience, though. Psychonauts.
Also, would you say Psychonauts 2 is a kid's game?
It definitely deals with some adult themes.
No, I probably wouldn't. Not in the same way I look at Toys for Bobs. I could be wrong in the way I'm describing that, and it doesn't mean that adults do not enjoy those, quote, and I quote, kids' games. I love Crash Bandicoot and Spyro.
I think the original Psychonauts 100% has an argument for being a kid's game. I think Psychonauts 2 was made for the people who played Psychonauts 1.
Yeah.
Which aren't kids anymore. I think Double Fine for sure has like the talent to be doing that, right?
Mm-hmm. Costume Quest, things like that. They've done
quote
unquote kids games.
No, all AA games as well, right? Yeah. Like Crash Bandicoot 4, for all intents and purposes, to me is a AAA game. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was, maybe we disagree, but I think it was a AAA game, and it was a fantastic game as well at that. I just think this is a really, really, again, hopefully. I agree with you, Crash, on the political side of things. I'm hoping the conversation was, you can go, but we need a contract signed with your games are coming to Game Pass day one, which, don't know if that's the case. You know, exploring partnerships. I don't know what that means nowadays when it comes to Xbox and their ecosystem.
It could just be making sure the games come to Xbox at that point, right?
Yeah. No, it literally could be. It could be absolutely anything. But yeah, I do think this is a... for me, it's a real shame to see this studio not be brought in-house, given the big budget, given, you know, everything that it needs to be successful in terms of with marketing and things like that. Maybe they'll still get everything that I just said, but, you know, from the quote, small and nimble and, you know, going back to their roots.
Do you think, I get the question is, if they're talking about a partnership with Microsoft, do you think there's a chance that they work on some of those IPs for Microsoft?
Yeah, probably. I would assume they're still going to want to use Spyro, I think Spyro's the next one, in my opinion. You know, we've seen Crash come back. You know, we've seen Crash Team Racing. We've seen Crash 4. Spyro's been gone for a really long time now, since Skylanders. And with Xbox now owning that IP, I think that's what the partnership is. Now, with Xbox being an ecosystem, that next Spyro game is not coming to just Xbox, though. That will be a game that I think makes sense because of its legacy on PlayStation. But, you know, that's a game that will be published everywhere now, and Xbox will just earn the bigger piece of the pie when it comes to that game.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Weird. It's a weird one.
It is a shame to see them go. Like you say, like having a studio of their caliber be like finally in a position where they can make the games they want to make, and we were looking forward to seeing those games come to Xbox.
Maybe they couldn't. Maybe Xbox were like, "Hey, we wanted to make this," and they were we don't want to make that.
Yeah, we want to keep working. We don't want to work on Call of Duty anymore. It's like, well, you either are out, you're out. It's up to you.
I also want to say that there's 100% a possibility that the team themselves just wanted to be like, "Hey, stuff's changing. We would really like to go independent." And they had a conversation with Microsoft there, where the decision was 100% their choice. Like, we understand we'd get the budget, et cetera, but we'd rather go off on our own at this point because we've been part of a bigger company and it hasn't worked out super great for us. So we'd rather take this moment before we get too entangled and start building up new IPs for you, et cetera, to just sort of do our own thing going forward.
Yeah, honestly, timeline-wise, it works out probably really well for them because I'm assuming, obviously, Xbox, Microsoft have gone through this big restructure. They've had it on their books. They're like, we need to get rid of so many numbers, and we know what we're going to be doing with which studios next. And like you say, they may have just turned around and says, we don't want to be part of that anymore. We'd rather go off and do our own thing. Then maybe Microsoft's like, well, that's ticked off however many heads that we don't have to pay anymore. So yeah, sure, go for it. And I'm sure it's like, it's not a massive loss for them to be like, just take the Toys for Bob name.
Oh no, yeah, there's not enough. It's not enough fandom or
market, you know, value in that
market in Toy for Bobs, unfortunately. But yeah, it's again, if like us nerds, we know where it is, but you know, pops up on a splash screen, no one knows what the everyday person probably doesn't know what that means, you know. So next up, Embracer Group is reportedly selling Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2 developer Saber Interactive for, how much, you guys ask? $500 million. The story coming out of this is Embracer Group is trying to sell Saber Interactive to a private investors for $500 million, turning Saber into a privately owned company with 3,500 employees and multiple studios. Lead developer for Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2 and Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake that are still in development. The sale will include most teams at Saber Interactive. No specifics are given yet. Jeez Louise, this is why you don't buy everything and their and their mother when purchasing things. Them not getting that investment back in like that, I think it was $1 billion, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, it was $1 billion.
That $1 billion investment really just destroyed our industry in a huge way, didn't it? Like, it is bad.
I think also, like, we do have to look back at COVID a little bit and be like, the boon that gaming got from COVID, the blow up and everything, sort of slowly going down, has also affected it.
Slowly though, and I think that's the problem. It was boom, hire, build, go to, oh fuck, see you all later, get out.
I would say one thing, because I read up on this a bit more when I saw this on the list. Embrace have actually done all right out of this. Because I think they bought Saber for like $150 million, and now they're making $500.
Well, they're not silly. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Nice profit for them.
They own some really important IP for the industry as well.
They bought a lot of IPs for a lot cheaper than they should have by like a significant margin.
I'm not smart enough to know the answer to this, but like, I always wonder when stuff like this came up, like Tomb Raider, for instance. Like, I was screaming that Xbox should have bought it, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think Embracer got it, and obviously, they haven't got it anymore. But And then like something like Warhammer, Knights of the Old Republic. Like, to me, that, why did PlayStation not get that? Why did Xbox not get that? Why did EA not get that? Why didn't some of these companies buy it or bid for some of this IP instead of just letting Embracer get it? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, listen, so the weird thing about that, when it comes to like licensed IP, I'm sure it's not just about the money. Like, obviously money is a big part of it, but when you look at like a company like Warhammer or Games Workshop and Star Wars and Disney, like,
oh, God.
They'll be wanting, as well as having the best return of investment for whoever their marketing partner or publishing partner is, they also want to make sure that they're protecting their brand.
Mm.
So maybe at the time, like Saber or Embracer just like offered the best version to them.
Makes sense.
Because, I mean, no word of a lie, that Space Marine 2 game looks pretty good.
Oh, no, it does. It definitely does.
Yeah. And so I'm excited that they're still working on that. And so, yeah, a part of this obviously selling it off to studio, but they are still going to be working on these games. And it's nice to go to private investors as well. So, like, it's privately owned, don't have to worry about shareholders and things like that.
Yeah.
Because we'll see. Seen anything over the last few years, shareholders don't really work out well for video game companies.
Or they do work out really well.
For the shareholders.
Profits. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right, last story this week was EA lays off 670 workers, cancelling upcoming Star Wars shooter from Respawn Entertainment. EA's laying off 670 workers across from different divisions, and that's around 5% of its global workforce. The layoffs will see Studio Ridgeline Games close, as well as cancellations of a Star Wars first-person shooter at Respawn Entertainment. Electronic Arts laid off 774 workers back in 2023 of March, with an additional 50 laid off from BioWare. I mean, again, I'm not going to vilify EA, because we've seen this across the board now. You can't blame EA. Usually, I remember back in the early days of this podcast, EA used to get bashed so much about everything. We used to blame EA for everything. It's changed a little bit. The part I don't get is the Respawn game being cancelled. Like, they just announced that got announced.
Well, they didn't announce it. It got leaked.
Oh, so I thought they mentioned it at the Disney thing. I thought Vince Zampella mentioned it.
I don't believe so. I think this is one that got
leaked. They mentioned working on another Star Wars game. I don't think we know that it's this game.
No. Yeah, and I do remember, like, because unfortunately, this is slightly old news, so I think this dropped
the day
after we recorded last week. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I remember that week's episode, I was like super excited because I think the news leaked that it was a first person Respawn game. And I was like, that's the most exciting thing in the world to me. And then straight after, I'm just not going to get excited about video games anymore.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am.
I wonder if somebody was like, oh, well, this game's getting canceled, I'm just going to leak everything I can about the game.
Honestly,
everybody knows it's going to be going away. Yeah.
You think a last ditch attempt to save it of like, just, hey, look, the internet is excited for it. What are you doing?
Yeah, possibly.
I mean, weirder things have happened. I mean, not video games, but the reason we've got 3 Deadpool movies now is because someone leaked the test footage everyone fell in love with it.
Ryan. Why is it always Star Wars? Like, Star Wars games get cancelled a lot.
Because you have to have a hit with Star Wars. I talked about it earlier, didn't I? I said, like, companies want to make sure that when an IP game like this drops, it's a hit. So if they're not sure about it, and they're putting all that money into it, it's a big risk. So maybe at the point they looked at it, went, it's not going the way we wanted it. So it's not worth the risk. Like, let's just cut our losses.
It could also be like, hey, the budget's X, Y, and Z. You know, Disney's going to be involved with this, profits, whatever. Like, they might be paying for a portion of it. And they ran out of that Disney money and they go to Disney and they're like, hey, the game ended up needing more. Disney takes a look at the game and they're like, we're not giving you any more money. You do what you do, or you cancel it or whatever. And they're like, hey, we're going to cancel it. We're not putting any more money into this either, or whatever the case is. There's a lot of different variables that can go on. Yeah. But regardless, like, this is just unfortunate news.
Yeah, my thoughts go out to the devs, honestly, because there's just, I can't imagine, I've worked in the creative spaces, you know, I can't imagine putting that much work into something and, you know, the level of excitement of, oh my God, I'm working on a Star Wars game, and, you know, all the work that goes into that, you know, obviously I know you're under NDAs, but you probably told your wife or, you know, your husband or whoever, you know, you've told somebody, and then to have to come home and be like, it got cancelled. You know that cool lightsaber I was designing? It don't exist.
Not happening.
You know that cool gun I was making that I told you about last night? That's gone.
Not happening. We put Mace Windu in the game, they cancelled it.
Yeah, exactly. Jar Jar Binks was there. He's dead.
Good.
How dare you? Boys, it's time for Guess That Game. Crash, talk to me. What's going on?
So Guess That Game is the show we do on the My Xbox Me podcast, where I will pick a game or whoever's hosting picks a game, and the boys will ask questions about said game. They have a timer. A minute 30 is the time, if I'm not mistaken. They ask yes or no questions. At the end of that time, they make guesses, and whoever gets it right gets a point. Whoever doesn't gets nothing. Fix, what are the standings right now?
Speaking of points, Crash is sitting at 4 points. Matt, who is dead on this week's episode, is sitting at 1 point. Despawn, you are currently sitting at 2 points. And I am also sitting at 2 points. Crash, I'm ready. Yes. I'm ready this week, baby. I'm ready.
Yes, ready?
I'm going to get a point this week.
Okay. We're going to go Fix, Despawn.
Okay.
You guys good?
Yup.
And go.
Xbox 360 generation.
No.
Exclusive.
No.
Xbox One generation.
Yes.
EA.
No.
Capcom.
Yes.
Single talk? Player.
Yes.
Is the game primarily a single player game?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yes.
Is there monsters in it?
Yes. Well, yes. Yes, there's monsters.
Okay.
Monsters, I just want to say monsters is a very vague term.
Okay. Do you play as a female protagonist, the main character?
No.
Do you play as a male protagonist?
Yes.
Primarily. Okay. Just wriggle it out.
Okay. Capcom. Is there a shopping mall?
A shopping mall? No, I do not believe so.
Oh, okay. Is there zombies?
Zombies? No. I would not say there's zombies.
Is there a virus of some sort in this game?
No.
Okay.
Oh, is there multiplayer?
Well, not that I'm aware of. Is there multiplayer? Yes, technically there is multiplayer.
Okay, that's time. That's time.
So Capcom, Xbox One.
Yep.
Male protagonist.
Yep.
There is multiplayer.
Yeah, but you weren't too confident.
Yeah, you didn't sound too confident about that one.
Oh, I'm confident there's multiplayer.
Okay.
I said technically.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Technically, there's multiplayer in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
going to give you guys a hint. Don't focus on the multiplayer bit.
No, okay. I won't. I won't anyway. I'm more just thinking, I mean, interesting.
Not zombies.
No, not zombies.
There is monsters.
There is monster. Yeah, I mean, that leaves me.
So there's only one. No, because that's not Xbox One. Oh.
Wait, we discussed. It is single player, but it can be played multiplayer.
I'm not clarifying anything.
No, I know exactly. I know what game this is. I know what game this is.
Oh, no.
I don't know what game this is, but I'm trying to get in the mind of Crash.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, this is where I'm going with it.
Okay.
Okay.
You want me to say mine?
No, Despawn, because Despawn has no clue. Despawn's got to go first.
Yeah, Despawn has no clue.
I'm going to give you 10 seconds, Despawn. 10, 9.
Not helpful.
8.
I know it's not the right answer, but
7.
Primal. I'm just getting out of this.
That didn't even come on this generation.
I can't think of any other game out of the top of my head.
Marvel versus Capcom.
No.
Ah.
Devil May Cry 5.
Ah.
There's the little multiplayer bit where you're walking and there's the other player. Yeah, there's the time trial thing, right? No, there's the bit where you're playing a specific level. There's another person who's playing at the same time as you.
There is that. Yes.
I said there's technically multiplayer. Do not focus. I gave you guys the biggest hint. Mm-hmm. Don't focus on the multiplayer.
Yeah, we suck.
Yeah.
Oh, well, points don't change. That's fine. Matt still loses.
No! Yeah. I should have got that. As soon as it's Capcom, it's like...
Well, it's Capcom and monsters. I'm like, there's not a lot of options.
I was... So, for to start with, I was thinking... I was going to go, it's Monster Hunter.
Where I was like, monsters are... I gave you another hint there where I said monsters are a very vague term.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. As soon as you said it's a vague term, I was like, well, it's not Monster Hunter, then, is it?
Yeah.
Damn. All right, well,
the points
sit at Chris on 4, Matt on 1, Despawn 2, me 2. And that's an epic foul from me. All right, let's jump into Fix the Sack. Remember, you can email in myxboxandmepodcast@gmail.com or you can ask questions like a lot of these fantastic people did in our official Discord. Link is in the description below. If you have not joined the Discord, you are messing up, especially for Saturday. Because if we're playing games for 12 hours and we're bringing people in, you will need to be in the Discord so you can talk to us. So make sure you do join that YouTube description and the audio description. It will be there. All right. First question comes from Origin Cookie Man, who says, what does he say, Despawn? What does he say?
He says,
most successful iconic characters have an iconic catchphrase that you think of when you see them. Mario, it's a me, Mario. Master Chief, I need a weapon. Kratos, boy. To put it to the test, could the My Xbox and Me hosts all try and separately guess what the catchphrase might be for their co-hosts? Huh.
Yes. I think this is easy.
Yeah, I would have said mine's easy.
Yeah.
What would you say mine is?
Yours is the hello, of course.
Yeah. Hello!
To be honest, yours is also the hello.
Crash is.
Yeah.
Crash is like, hi.
It's like, every time it's like, the beginning is like, hello. Yeah. Okay.
Mine's either that or mine is, it used to be, I don't do it anymore because people pointed it out so much, but it used to be interesting. I used to say that between sentences to when I was thinking of something, I would say that all the time. But yeah, no, filler. Definitely the hello.
That was your filler word, yeah.
Yeah. Despawn, what would yours be? Ah, man, that's hard.
Despawn's is Matabitch for sure. That's definitely his.
But I don't talk a little bit dead, so.
No, I'm trying to think. What was yours? Yeah, Crash, yours is definitely the hey.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey. Like nonchalant, like we're not doing a podcast. Like we just spoke to me. Like it's like you've just come into my house with like a cup of coffee. Like, hey. I'm here. Hey. I made it.
I want to give the podcast a very homey feel. Okay?
Do you feel like homies?
What would you think yours was, Despawn? Do you have something that you can point out?
I'm not sure that I'm at the level right now with this podcast. I know I've been here a few months now, but it's like, am I at the level where I've got a catchphrase?
I don't think so. Not yet, unfortunately. I'd love the audience to let me know. Audience, if you think of something. Again, it's hard because I'm with you all the time, so I don't hear it the way the audience does. So let us know in the comments below or in the Discord what Despawn's catchphrase is. I'm trying to think of Matt, though. Matt would be like, I don't know. Matt definitely has one. No, Matt definitely has one, though. I just can't think of it right now. Because sometimes he says something out of nowhere. He's like, actually, like, do you know what I mean? He does like this weird, I can't think of what it is, though.
So I think for Matt, personally, I think it's not a phrase, it's a look.
Exactly. Audio listeners are going to be completely confused.
Yeah, watch the video around 50 minutes to see our faces, but that's definitely Matt 100%.
I think mine would be, I don't really have a word character, but I think whatever it is, it's sassy.
Definitely.
Yeah,
no, full I agree. Sass. Next up, Trinchera says, Thoughts on the current state of Skull and Bones and Suicide Squad. Games that were full price games, but that also are games that are games of service. Sorry, I butchered that. I do apologize, Centrist. You said it perfectly. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I mean, I think Skull and Bones is doing pretty much what I expected it to do, if I'm being totally honest. It's come out. It's got a season one right now. It's not performed very well. You know, the last numbers that were leaked were under 1 million, including free trial players, which is obviously terrible. But the people that like it really bloody like it. And the people that like it are playing it a ton. And the people that like it are spending a lot of time in it. Kind of what I expected.
I think the important thing with Ubisoft games as well is that they are a marathon and they're not a race, right? They're not.
You mean a sprint?
If you look at
the
same
sprint, marathon is still a race.
No, it's still a race. It's, okay?
Whatever. You know what I meant.
He tried, guys. If you're not watching the video again, he just tried to bitch slap me from talking. Whatever. He tried to back. He literally tried to pimp slap. Flat me, backhand and everything. I don't know
how
what
dare you
doing.
Interrupt me on this podcast again, Pix. How dare you? But yeah, if you're looking at Rainbow Six Siege, if you're looking at a lot of their games, they are very much so not what they do in those first week, first month, first year. It is what they do in their longevity. So I think Skull and Bones, to really gauge how that game does for Ubisoft to a degree, you have to see how it's looking in another couple of months and where they are with that game.
Again, me and Despawn definitely know this more firsthand than most people. Like, again, obviously I stream for Ubisoft, take everything I say with a pinch of salt, yada yada. But the engagement on that game is humongous from our perspective. Like from when I'm streaming the game on the Ubisoft channel compared to other games that we may play from time to time. Right now, the engagement on there is noticeably high. Community, some of it can be a bit of a pain, but some of it is very nice. There's a lot of good people out there that are just looking forward to play this naval pirate game. And I haven't seen that for Suicide Squad. I have not seen that.
No. Yeah, I mean, to answer Trinity's questions, yeah, my thoughts on the current state of the both games, I think as you guys have covered there, Skull and Bones is, again, like you say, a marathon, not a jog, or whatever we're calling it.
Marathon, not a snail pace.
Exactly, nailed it. Yeah, like Ubisoft have got the history to show that they still support these games. Like Division 2 didn't have the best start, but now it's like one of their longest running titles for a live service game. And yeah, so I can see going forwards, I think there's going to be a lot of time and effort put into it from Ubisoft that hopefully they'll be able to turn it around. In regards to Suicide Squad, I mean, that game died on impact, right? Yeah, it's not what people wanted. Like, I know there is a market out there for those kind of like IP live service games, but it's like they tried to thread the middle ground too much and it just, both sides became a bit bland.
I don't know if you guys saw, but they announced the Joker.
Yeah, oh, they announced it before the game launched.
Just saw the announcement, man. So that's new. Yeah, it's Jared Leto.
Oh yes, let's go.
No,
it's live action. So whenever he's on screen, they're gonna be playing an actual video. It's not gonna be in game.
So they announced him as part of season one before the game dropped, and I hate to bitch about this game even more, but it looks like a Jared Leto cosplay. It looks like
have we seen the actual model?
Yeah. Yeah, we have. I'm going to bring it up for the viewers,
One thing I'll say about this game, though, I'd like to finish it. I know Matt's really down on it, and I will find time. I'm hoping I can find time with Crash, where we just have a day. It's not very long. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm talking like a whole day where I'm like, all right, Crash, Despawn, on Sunday, we are playing my Xbox, we're playing it for 10 hours straight on the My Xbox and Me channel. We're just playing it through. Because I know Matt's really down on it. I liked it a lot more than what Matt did when we played it. Yes, I did see the formula was about to get really old, but you know.
To be fair, Matt said that in the beginning he was very much so into it. And then the more he played,
the worse it got. Yeah, but again, Matt planned that game single player.
That's true.
I just why would you try and play a game like that single player?
Because the addiction hits.
Or it doesn't. You just complain about it on a podcast instead.
Matt, we should know by this point, Matt's a masochist and he doesn't like actually enjoy anything he does, and he does it purely for the pain of it.
Why it comes on this podcast every week, right?
Must be. Can't be for anything else, let's be honest. Next question comes from Origin Cookie Man and says, did you guys see the Spawnies this year? A fan voted game and award show with a mission to uplift and support devs from underrepresented communities. Can you guess which game took home two of their awards? I didn't watch it, unfortunately. I'm a big Khalif Adams fan. Let me give him up flowers right now to Khalif, right? Like, people don't know this. I did some work for Intel a long time ago, and I found out only recently it was Khalif that put me forward for it. And, you know, like, again, just to give that man flowers, we've never met IRL. We're just friends through the internet. Obviously, I did Up Podcast Unlocked the other day. Not too long ago, I guess, not the other day. And he was on it. One of the nicest people in our industry. So big, big shout out to Khalif. I didn't see the Spawnies, unfortunately. It's one of those things, right? When it happens on American time zone, sometimes you miss things. And this was one of those things that I just missed. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was up nomination. I don't even know what was up for nomination to know what won. So what won?
Well, the ones that Origin Cookie Man included, well, it's just one, and it's Venba. I don't recall that game, if I won't be 100% honest.
No,
with you. It was, I feel like Despawn does.
Yeah, I think it was like a semi-indie title. Very. In fact, I'll bring up a trailer for people who watch in a second, but yeah, it is.
Oh, I do remember this one.
Yeah, the one that's won.
They won most emotional, best narrative, and then also the diversity reward.
Chris, if you look up an image of this, you know exactly what it is. It's you know the art style of it. It's very a very distinct art style. It's on Game Pass as well. Yeah. Cool. Well, congratulations, November, and a big, big shout out to the Spawnies doing some amazing work over there. So congratulations to them. Last question this week comes from the one and only Big Willy P. Big shout out to Big Willy P. He's the one that provides us questions. Random blind rankings on my Xbox and the Extra. So big, big shout out to him. He gave me some more as well, by the way. So you've got plenty to come. And if you don't listen to my Xbox and the Extra, or MXAM Extra, I should call it, go listen to it. It's out now. There's 8 episodes, 9 by the time you're probably listening to this. I don't know. So go and check that out. You only get one for the Xbox with all mascots. Which do you pick? Goofy Kart Racer, like Mario Kart, or Smash Bros, like fighting game? And based on which you pick, which characters is going to be your go-to and why? Oh, I like this question. Okay, so we're talking, so it's either a Smash Bros game, so it's on that level of game. It's a Smash Bros or a Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm glad we specified Smash Brothers and not PlayStation All-Star.
No. Yeah. Smash Bros. Okay.
So good. I think the choice is still easy.
Me too.
Mario Kart, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad we all agree.
I would prefer, personally, I'd prefer Smash Bros.
Mm.
But like, fighting games die off easy. A Mario Kart's gonna live longer. I think you can do more fun, goofy stuff with the characters in a Mario Kart type game.
The maps.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more creative stuff you could do in a Mario Kart type game. Master Chief. Mm. Give me a little Warthog to drive
boring.
In.
Boring.
What are you gonna pick?
Me? Yeah. I'm choosing me from my avatar. That's what I wanted for day one. I've always said this. Microsoft Avatar is definitely a thing. Just like a me in Wii is a thing. Mm. Yes.
When's the last time Xbox pushed avatars?
That's irrelevant.
If Xbox exists, ever creates a game like this, they are not including avatars. They will never include avatars.
They will.
No, they won't.
They will. You're wrong.
They're going to announce this and you're going to be so excited. And then they're going to announce the roster and there's going to be no avatar. And you're just going to be disappointed with yourself.
Well, that's not very nice, is it?
Yeah.
I apologize.
So I'm not going to take the easy answer and say that I would also choose Halo and Master Chief, because I would definitely choose Master Chief and Halo. But alternative, Senua in a little wooden robot with weird. Wheels. Yeah.
If I have to pick someone, I pick Crash. Crash Bandicoot driving around.
I was going to say that's cheating.
Why?
Crash already got a kart racing game. That's cheating.
I don't care. That's who I would pick. That would be my go-to. That's the question. The question was, who would be your go-to and why? Because Crash Bandicoot is dope. And if we ever get a Crash Bash game ever again, I will absolutely wet myself.
You heard it here first.
You're not going to.
I know I'm not, but you know, a man can wish. Toys for Bobs makes Crash Bash remade. Oh, I go crazy. I go crazy.
Fix what to himself on.
I would wet myself on the podcast straight away. I would. It'd be crazy. Instant pee.
I'm sensing a stretch goal for Saturday stream.
Pee yourself. Okay.
I don't think I can make it Saturday anymore.
You're not going to smell the pee. I'm going to be here. You're going to be there. It'd be fine. Trust me. Yeah. Let's plug and get ourselves out of it before we get cancelled. Crash, what you got to plug this week?
My Xbox and me, YouTube, Twitch. Last week did 3 streams. We're gonna be doing the 12-hour stream on Saturday. More streams as well on top of that. Make sure you stay tuned. Lots of more streams to come every Monday. We also do the Baldur's Gate. We did another one this week. If you haven't checked that out, you should go and watch that. stuff went off the rail. Some mishaps happened. Do we continue our journey? Who knows? You have to go watch and find out.
I like the fact there's a tab in the Discord now for it, and it's just like, it was all a dream. Deez, what you got to plug this week, dude?
Exactly the same thing. The 12-hour stream on Saturday, this will be out beforehand, so come and hang out with us for 12 hours. We'll be playing games, doing dumb shit, probably emotionally scarring ourselves.
I mean, there's not much to tease, but number one, I definitely want to play Mario Party. I will say this now. I want to play Mario Party. I expect some form of Jackbox, you know, those type of games.
Yeah.
Will there be a Halo with the boys? Goal. Yes, there will. I will confirm it here right now. So
we're
not
teasing, we're just straight up saying
that. No, I'm going to confirm it. There is a Halo with the boys goal. If we hit it, we will be playing Halo. Have I got Halo downloaded and ready? No, because I don't think you lot are going to hit it. Something
did
a bit
I
above
uninstall it? Maybe for? To make space.
What for? What for? Who cares? I'm not going to hit it. They don't actually care about us playing Halo.
No.
So I'm not even worried.
Do they?
They don't. They don't. I don't believe. Until next time, we'll love you. Leave it. See you later. Keep enjoying my Xbox Me podcast. And good boys.
Goodbye.